The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood there on shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Christ. From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, I'm told that this wall here holds 153 bricks, 17 by
number comes from today's lesson, 153 fish. I have no idea what, if anything, that number 153 means. That hasn't stopped readers and commentators throughout time attempting to find something in it. Jerome asserts that there are 153 species of fish in the world. So the fishers of men would catch some of all of them. Augustine noted an interesting fact that 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way up to 17 equals 153. The point being something like the church grows by addition. Gregory makes it something of a catechism lesson. He takes 10 for the Ten Commandments, 7 for those 7 spirits of God, that Revelation reference that we heard today, for the work of the Holy Spirit, the proclamation of the gospel. So law and gospel multiplied by 3, the Trinity squared for some reason. Somehow that means perfection. At least according to Gregory. And then there are all kinds of wild gematria, or letters that equal numbers games. Supposedly the Greek word for fish, ichthus, if you play that game, would sum up to 153. Call me crazy. I just think it means 153 fish were caught, which is a ridiculous number. And hence, within the scene itself, is something of a sign that all the struggles to discern its meaning kind of miss. The story goes something like this. The first thing we should notice is the change of scene. The Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, seven of them here, are back in Galilee. And apparently, they're just sitting around doing nothing. Maybe they're sitting around waiting for Jesus to come and tell them something more. Maybe they're still just taking it in. But the tedium of sitting around gets to Peter. And he announces, "I'm going fishing." And quickly everyone else jumps up and agrees, "We will go with you." In one way, you could say this is just life reasserting itself. Most of us have experienced this. A death in the family, or some other event yanks us out of time for a bit. There are all kinds of things that have to be done. And after they are done, we might drift a bit. But eventually, ordinary time reasserts itself. And we go back to work, or we go back to the routine. And it's usually good, unless that event was supposed to have changed you. When Peter was called, he was a fisherman. Jesus said if he followed him, he would make him a fisher of men. Has everything that Peter gone through and seen just been to return him to the fishing boats in the Sea of Galilee? Is everything that we have seen and heard in these days just receded into the past, changing nothing? When these disciples go back to fishing of their own ideas, what happened? They caught nothing. If we have a calling, if we have something that we're supposed to be doing, and instead we are just doing what is familiar because it's comfortable, that is what it often comes to. Nothing. We've all done this, right? The old Franklin planner method would have you make out your to-do list every night. Things that were part of the calling were A's. Things that might need to be done to support them would be B's. And everything else were C priority. And then the sun comes up, and what do you start doing? The C's. Because you know them. Because you can get them done. Because checking them off makes you feel like you've done something. But what have you really done? Nothing. Because the same C's will be back on that list tonight. And there are lots of people who spend their lives in safe and familiar C's. As the day is breaking and the disciples return with nothing, the risen Jesus appears and asks them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And calling them children is interesting. If seven burly men who caught nothing all night were coming back, I'm not sure children is what I'd call out. But I think it simply means the status of their faith. They have a calling. In his first and second appearances, he sent them out as the Father had sent me. Those mature might have followed his words. But the children don't know any better or are afraid or don't know where to begin. But the place to begin is always with the Word of God. When we do it ourselves, we catch nothing. But Jesus tells them to cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they do what Jesus says, they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. These disciples had a calling. They had the Word of God. They were to be doing something, which at this point they were not doing. They could continue with their plans and catch nothing, or they could follow their callings and catch the blessings of God. Now, we aren't apostles, but we do have the Word of God. And I bet that most of us have some type of calling. And if you don't want to use that word calling, fine. You have some idea that I should be doing X. Whether X came from your private meditation and prayer, or you heard it indirectly from somebody, or somebody specifically asks you, can you do this? And you immediately know that, yes, I should do this. Call it spiritual intuition. Call it hearing the voice of the shepherd. You know it when you hear it. And you've got a choice. Do you want to catch nothing? Or do you want 153 large fish? But maybe there are things that stand in the way. There usually are. For these disciples, there was a minor problem and a major problem. The minor problem was hunger. They'd been out all night, and they'd just lugged a massive haul of fish to land and had nothing. After all of those major events, you know what happens. You don't eat. You make it through them based on reserves, and then as ordinary time comes back, you're famished. Jesus knows this. And he says to those disciples, come and have breakfast. Come and have the first meal of the day. Come and restore your strength. This meal is a bit like those earlier miraculous feedings of 5,000 and 4,000 because Jesus gives them bread and fish. Jesus in his providence certainly gives us everything that we need to support this body and life. But Jesus also invites us to regular spiritual meals, to word and sacrament. Jesus knows that we need these things. Prayer, songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, encouragement from the Word. And Jesus supplies these regularly. Come and have breakfast. Recognize Christ in your midst. But maybe there are bigger things than that regular breakfast. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe never. Maybe you've betrayed the Lord and your calling. That's where Peter found himself. Maybe he went fishing because he didn't think that Jesus ascending really included him. How could it? But it does. And it did. Not that a deep and sincere repentance is easy. Peter was grieved. But it's that cathartic type of grief, that type of confrontation, where you make a choice explicitly who and whose you are. Simon, do you love me? If you do, I've got a call for you. You aren't a fisherman anymore, but a fisher of men. And calls aren't always easy. That's why you skip those A's on the to-do list. Peter's especially. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Whose are you, Simon? Whose do you want to be? Follow me. The grace of Christ covers even the deepest betrayal. Because Jesus is the friend of sinners. And sometimes the medicine is harsh. But if it's harsh, it's because our wound is grievous and we need it. So we're kind of back to those 153 in this wall. These apostles wouldn't be out fishing again because they would go about their calling. All but one of them martyrs for it. But following the word of Jesus, they brought in the biggest catch of fish ever. That net is still being hauled into the shore today. And even through schisms and heresies and long ages, that net has not broken. The word of Christ risen is still proclaimed. Your sins are forgiven. The sacraments are administered. Your baptism now saves you, giving you your basic calling as a disciple of Christ. Same as it was then, is now. And it still carries in a large catch of fish. And ultimately, the exact number will come in. And not one of them will be lost. Maybe we won't be able to count them, numerous as the stars, but the Father knows, 153 large. He's given them to His Son, and they will all be there. They will all be part of that new song in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who made us a kingdom of priests to God, who shall reign on the earth. And that's the final calling that we all have, to give glory to the Father, to give glory in word and in deed and in truth. Amen.